Chapter 5. My whole body shook as I raced through the woods to the cabin. My mind was in a fit of fear and adrenaline. I climbed over the back fence and rounded the barn. I was about to call for my grandma when I saw Mr. and Mrs. Fletcher, whose farm was closest to our cabin, standing, just standing, in the driveway. The driveway gate was slightly ajar. I gasped and slid back behind the barn. I couldn't get to the house. I couldn't get into the barn. I checked my pockets. My car keys were there. Quickly, I ran from the side of the barn to my SUV. The beep-beep of my doors unlocking woke the Fletchers from their sick slumber. They both turned and lunged toward me. They were amazingly fast. I ran. I opened the back passenger door and jumped into the back seat. I slammed the door shut behind me, locking the doors with a thump. The Fletchers were at the SUV in moments. They were sick, or maybe even dead. Their skin was corpse white, and their eyes were cloudy white with red bloodshot striking through. Their mouths frothed, and they lunged over and over, biting and snapping at me. Bloody saliva smeared across the black-tinted windows of the Range Rover. I could feel my heart beating in my throat. I climbed over the back seat and into the cargo space. Suddenly, I touched something hard. My swords! Who says it doesn't pay to be a medievalist? I pulled the shashka from the bundle and strapped its scabbard around my waist. Then I unsheathed the weapon. I had to find my grandmother. The Fletchers were flailing about at the passenger side window. I took a deep breath and opened the back. I slid out and headed toward the driver's side. The Fletchers moved toward the back of the SUV. Dropping low, I swung around the front of the car. They were at the back. I leaned down and watched their feet. I didn't know what to do, but I needed to do something fast. I took a few deep breaths and turned toward the house. With the shashka poised in front of me, I kept one eye on the Fletchers as I backed toward the cabin. The moment they saw me, they closed in. "Stay back!" I yelled, but they didn't seem to hear. They came toward me, grabbing at me, snapping while bloody saliva dripped from their mouths. I swished the sword in front of me to deter them, but they didn't seem to care. Mr. Fletcher grabbed at me. "Get back!" I pleaded as I backed toward the porch. He lunged forward. I sliced his arm, but it didn't faze him. His wife hissed and swiped at me. He grabbed at me again. This time he ignored the sword entirely and pushed the blade aside as he tried to grab me. I watched in horror as the shashka sliced his fingers off. They fell to the ground. Mrs. Fletcher, her feet bare and bloody, stepped on his dismembered fingers as she advanced. I ducked and dodged sideways. They pursued. In that moment, I remembered what the man from the CDC had said. Brain activity. Victims were experiencing brain activity post-mortem. Was that what I was seeing? They pursued me to the cabin steps. I quickly ascended to the top of the stairs. I looked down at those who had once been my neighbors. "I'm sorry," I said, and having no other choice, I let the blade sing. Mrs. Fletcher was closest to me. Taking a couple of steps back, I made a running jump. I cleared the stairs, slicing off the top of her head as I passed. I turned as I landed. My cut had been a good one. Her erect body stumbled in a circle, then fell. Mr. Fletcher let out a strange howl, then lunged. With an underhand-to-overhand spin, the shashka twirled through the air. I sliced his head in half. He fell instantly. They both lay on the ground, jerking spastically. After a few moments, they fell still.